showed me some weird cartoons that were animated.
Those, I mean, those nobody needs to be subjected to those cartoons.
What is a Batman?
Yeah. And apparently it's a Christmas movie?
Yeah. Dude, I'm so going to have polls on there and everything. Anytime we ever have a guest or anything come on, I'm going to make sure every single one of them has to vote on whether it was a Christmas movie or not. Just have that be a caring thing all the way through.
Yeah, you'll probably slide them money before they ever answer. You want this a little too bad. I
mean, there is the book.
Mm-hmm.
There is the book.
He found a book.
The children's book.
And that's why I
looked up that author's other books. He had like Scooby-Doo and
Batman. Well, that was like in the WB store.
So I don't know if that's adding to the credibility or destroying
it. It looked like fan fiction to me, and I'm sticking with that. You know, that's where I'm at.
Written
like
somebody, by a guy who's somebody, written for DC some, for somebody, years.
He's just some fan on the side and put up some book on Amazon. He claims he wrote for DC. You know.
It's the Timu version of DC Comics. That's what it is.
Yep.
All right, we can get this down.
Yeah. Go for it, man.
Welcome back. This is the second episode. Welcome back to Is It Cool or Is It Nostalgia, where we check if we're looking at something through our rose-tinted glasses or if it's actually a timelessly cool topic, because we pick topics from all sorts of things.
Well, see, mine are always timelessly cool. I can't speak to you all of you.
No. Okay, now, let's just...
Oh, shit.
Let's save that for later.
That's the spirit. Right? We're all passionate about things we're going to bring here. But that's why how this flows is at the end, we get to vote. And people get to defend why they think that what they've brought today to talk about is cool enough or not. Or is it still cool? So forget about being cool in the past.
So what is today's topic?
Today's topic is cars.
Vroom vroom, baby.
We're all we're all gearheads here. We're basically, this is Top Gear.
So I was going to ask, so who
Top Gear nerd version?
Yeah.
Who describes themselves as a car nut or a gearhead? Is there anyone in this room that
I drive a Toyota Camry.
No, see, well,
that's a no.
When I think gearhead, I think of somebody who would actually like, oh yeah, that car came out in 72, had the, you know, 4-cylinder, 3, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, you don't even know the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Well, I didn't prep to what I'm going to say.
Anybody's talking about a 1970 4-cylinder.
3 whatever.
Hey, a Japanese car.
3 on the tree.
Well, no, wasn't there that Mazda 3 RX-8, wasn't it like 3, but it wasn't like a triangle?
483 it's a rotary engine.
Yeah,
it's
a
rotary engine. Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'm saying I think of gearheads as people like that who could like tell you everything about the car. I'm more like, oh yeah, that car is pretty. I like it and it has a nice sound. Other than that, yeah.
I think that's good enough.
I think that's pretty much where I'm at.
So it's I have a love of cars and what they can do, but I can't break them down.
Did you guys ever play that game where, you know, most everybody has on the highway, you're passing a car, you name the make and model. Like that was a game that like not only kids would play, but like, you know, adults and whatnot, at least in my family. Marcy plays it. Like you never did that?
No, we did think really? We had to find the license plates.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It was just state. It was basically something to make the kids like be focused on something and shut up. I think why it was used on us. And I was never any good at it. I was terrible at it.
In India, I always bring us down with some poverty stories, but of the third world experience. In India, we didn't have that many variety of cars. So we had, what was like Premier? It's like a Fiat and or French company. We had what's called an Ambassador, which is like a tank of a car. That Premier Padmini. Ambassador is a different car and Premier is a different car.
Oh, okay. You said Premier and then you said Ambassador.
They're two separate cars. So okay. If you just remove Premier part.
Okay.
Ambassador car India.
India. Ambassador.
Well, I'll probably look at it.
Yeah.
The Ambassador.
Car. That's going to be the real.
Look at that thing.
Here we
that
go.
Is oh, classy.
Is this what you're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
that guy.
It's not bad.
I that's actually a cute little car. I like it.
Cute little car, yeah.
Up until I was like 10, 11 years old. No, like that one that
says Ambassador 2.0, the Return of India is right there. Like,
this was actually Andy's car.
That's on his Facebook page.
he loved that plant, too.
So, yeah, that's the car I drove around in. And it was a local-made fun car because I think most people don't know. Until 1990s, India had a closed market. We didn't get anything from outside. Mm. We had closed off our market, and we only opened it up in those early 90s. So my experience is that those shitty cars and my exposure to cars was all through video games.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
Gran Turismo to you meant something a little different than most of the rest of us.
Oh,
it was eye-opening.
It was eye-opening.
You like, mean there's driving... more than your car is either red or black? I mean, what is this?
Yeah, totally. Driving in Need for Speed games or Need for Speed High Stakes, those kind of old-fashioned ones that I first played where like I was like, oh, this is a Corvette. The police cars were always Corvette in those. So I didn't know that back then that because it's a Chevy, local American made, that's why it's a police car. I would always be like, why don't they get like a Ferrari in the police car section? But
that made me think of explosion. Need for Speed Most Wanted. I played the heck out of that game, get on the highway and break a bunch of laws where you have like the entire police force chasing you down. I had so many cops chasing me at one point that I think the game glitched. Because at one point, cop cars are just like wrecking into each other and falling off the highway. And I'm like driving, like go to a point where there's like hills are higher than the highway portion. And all of a sudden I see this cop car go flying like Dukes of Hazzard style over the highway. Yeah. But anyways, well, what's your car then?
Should I go first?
Yeah, might as well.
I'll go first. All right. What I picked, okay, it's going to be... obviously, the TV show that was eye-opening for me, besides video games, was Top Gear, followed by Grand Tour. And they were always obsessed with Lancia, which I think the right Italian way is like Lancia.
Lancia?
Yeah, Lancia. So Lancia Delta Integrale, Evo 2. You can pick Evo 2. Look at that beauty.
Rally car royalty.
Oh, right there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If you've seen, I think even if you've seen
this is an Italian car?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Keep going. I got questions about that.
Because it's owned by Fiat, which is now owned by Stellantis, which is like a whole bunch of American companies mixed together. And they're actually trying to bring this brand back as the luxury brand, which it was in the past as well.
Mm.
So you see that in the full livery over there, to the one to the left of what you just selected.
This one?
The Martini car to the white one below it.
Just that guy.
Yeah, that's the rally.
That's the rally.
What's the one with the livery? You know, the one that has graphics all over it?
Yeah. So... they were, the hosts on the shows were obsessed with it. And I was like, it's an old boxy car. So I was not a fan of this when I was growing up. I was into more of the sleek Lamborghini Miura and those they look like a wedge kind of cars. Mm-hmm. I really loved those.
Isn't the wedge design like actually a thing that they, like a term that's used?
Yeah.
I think I've heard that like a wedge design.
Yeah. And... this is the opposite. It's a boxy crap. But so I learned over time the really cool history about this. So in the 60s, 70s, Lancia was like the king of rally racing. In rally racing, there's Group A and Group B. And B is kind of where the rules, everything's off. It does not have to be like a street legal car. Group A has tighter rules so what it means is that your car is almost street ready car, so you can do too much stuff in Group A.
Well, should I actually ask, do both of you know what World Rally is?
That's just where, is it off-road?
Yeah. It's like all through the countryside. That's the one where you see the videos where there's like spectators right along the road and a car flies like 3 feet through the air.
I played the old Sega Rally game. That's what I assume. When I hear rally, that's what I think of and was assuming.
And winning the rally is that it's basically like F1, which team wins at the end of the year, right? Like you get points and you get... So that's the same there. So the competition was insanely fierce. And Lancia were like this amazing group of... they were building these insane cars that would go like super fast and were totally not street legal at all. I think it's called homologation of the car is like, what is the street version of this car? So that is the race version. And to the left are you seeing what is the street version of these cars? Because they need to have a street basis. So Group B got banned when a Lancia car, I think the Delta S4, crashed, killing both the drivers. And they were like, okay, this is now kind of insane.
It's a little bit too dangerous at this point.
This is like 500 horsepower cars going on country roads that they should not be, and the drivers are driving insane.
What I was going to do is watch some of those YouTube videos. You should be like, like, I would not be standing that close to the road.
Well, yeah, the spectators, that's where it like gets so crazy. The people, they'll stand out in the middle of the road trying to take pictures or whatever, and then the car comes flying off, and they just barely move out of the way in time. Like
they're trusting the driver so much.
Yeah. Well, not just the driver, like the guy in the passenger seat that's telling them where to turn.
Right.
Because he doesn't even know they're he's like, all right, in about 27 feet, you're going to have a hard left turn following me. Right. Like he doesn't, he's just having to trust his guy that's telling him what to do. It's like human GPS without the picture, you know?
So they
I mean, it is.
It totally
left
is.
Turn on Main Street, you know?
Because a driver, unlike an F1 track, does not memorize the map reader, he totally is like hard left, easy right. So he's constantly telling you, and the driver kind of is adjusting based on that. So they were legendary. They were also the manufacturer of the car, the last car, rear wheel drive car to win, because Audi Quattro came in and was like, four wheel drive is superior in that. But Lancia still won by having crazy drivers who were insane and just knew the machine to the perfection of how to drive it until they didn't and died. So, tragedy. But literally, the predecessor of this car crashing and burning out is what ended up banning the whole Group B. So, Lancia were like, okay, we'll go to Group A, but we need to have, that means it needs to be a street car now. It cannot be you used a street car body and put like some insane engine in the back, like all of that cannot work. So they were like, okay, Delta was already out as a family car, and we're like, okay, let's make this into our rally car. And so they ran with that in Group A, and to everyone's surprise, won the first year it entered. Like I think it was 85 86, they won, which surprised everyone. And then this car won the next six continuously. And to tell you the difference, someone like Subaru, WRX, is like considered the, you know, the rally breed.
Yeah.
And Subaru is famous for all that.
If you asked me the one thing for rally, like what manufacturer is known for that, I would have been like Subaru.
In their lifetime, they won...
I didn't even know about this.
They won three. This car won six. So this is this insane car that I think it had like initial versions that they kept improving and improving. Like the side, the wheel cover is like popped out by like 5 inches because they wanted to put fat tires on it. It is just a 2,000-pound fiberglass body tiny car of that era. So it is incredibly tiny and has a rotated inline six. It was a V4, four-cylinder, 16-valve, like turbocharged. The previous ones were like turbo supercharged and all that craziness of that. This was like 215 horsepower. It's not.
Really? I think my car has more than that. It's a Camry.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a tiny car. And it is only two, it has two doors, right? It's like only 2 inches longer than like a Mini. That's it. So they stuck in a lot of doors. And for Italian people, it's roomy, apparently.
For us.
Well, they don't have the beefiness that us Americans
have. When I see this car, and this is my ignorance with vehicles, I look at this, and I would have immediately said this was from Japan. This is one of the Japanese cars, like one of their, like, you know, like well, hell, I can't even name, like, basically stuff Luke is interested in. I don't know if you know what he's interested in. Anyway, yeah. A lot of those, like, street cars and stuff like that.
Like a
this
Honda. Kinda,
yeah, this stuff, just yeah. looks like something from the 80s version of that. Mm. For me, I would have never, like, marked this as Italian.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, I know this car because of exactly what he mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like, anyone who's watched a lot of Top Gear, and, of course, after that Grand Tour, this car is mentioned plenty. Anytime they talk about a hot hatch, this mm-hmm. car essentially gets brought up.
A hot hatch?
Yeah. Like essentially a hatchback that has a little get up and go. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like a Ford Focus SDI, a Volkswagen Golf GTI,
WRX
hatch versions. I think Toyota also has some small versions that they recently put out. So those kind of hot hatch.
I would have just thought hot hatch is like something you had after going to a chili cook-off.
I don't want to call it a hot hatch, but there's definitely some burning afterwards.
So I do want to bring up the styling of this and just talk about that for a little bit. So yeah. What's interesting about this, you know, it's very boxy, which kind of around the time where it came out was a popular thing to do, right? But it fell out of style quickly. And even before that time, a lot of cars were, you know, going to be more svelte, curvaceous, you mm-hmm. know. And what I think is very interesting is I think we're starting to see, even now in 2024, the boxiness kind of make a comeback.
Oh, it's coming back, baby. Absolutely, the 2020 Bronco changed the landscape because almost everything looks like a car SUV, very curvy. It all looks identical. Like, you can literally go to any parking lot anywhere and be like, okay, there's now 7 SUVs in a row that all look identical. They're all white or all black, and they all just had the same curviness too. Mm-hmm. Bronco comes out, now everything's starting to go like, you know what, that boxy look with a little bit of curve looks pretty good.
Well, see, I'm not going to go too far down into it because I could talk a while about this and I want to make sure we're staying on topic, but I will listen to a whole like historical documentary podcast thing about Bronco and how long people at Ford are trying to bring that truck back because they discontinued it in, like, what, the mid-90s?
Yeah, it's been a while.
The whole OJ thing. And the 70s and 80s Broncos, like, I love those. I would have got one myself if I could. But it took a long time for them to get it back. And
it took Jeep with their Wrangler and their market share. That's what brought it back. They were like, what's the competitor for that?
I mean, yeah, a bit, but there's been a huge Bronco fan base for a long time too. But no, they have two versions of that Bronco. They but there's like a more rounded one, which I
doesn't
hate.
It looks terrible.
But then like the big one, yeah,
yeah. yeah the newer Bronco, the actual Bronco, not the Sport, pretty badass. The Sport actually looks like everything that I hate about SUVs right now. They all just look alike. They look terrible.
So I think I don't like them. I think we. If y'all have examples, I'd like to pull up some examples. One thing that came to my mind when he mentioned this car is the Rivian R3X. It's a car that's not out yet, but coming out, I think, next year or the year after.
Oh, Rivian's putting the car out now?
It's almost a dead ringer for the thing. Oh, I mean, look at the profile.
Yeah, dude, I love this. I want to see more stuff like this on the road. Change stuff. Change the headlights. Give me these full light bars. Change the silhouette. Let me know what vehicle I am looking at without having it be fully illuminated where I can read like the make and model.
Yeah,
like I want to see it and know what it is. Nowadays.
More than the front, the back is so
Look at this.
The flatness.
I mean, it's got a very old school aesthetic to it, but at the same time, it's like modern at the same. It's like, I don't know. It's that nice little blend of the two.
Yeah.
I see that a lot happening nowadays where you try to blend the whole modern simplicity with the older boxiness because they kind of go together well.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a really, like, just great modern example of that kind of style coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody else have a dream for me is like to have an old 70s, like later model 70s, early model 80s, like truck or big SUV, but have the entire interior like updated to today, but the outside is restored to what it was back then. So I mean, this is kind of crossing that little realm there.
Yeah,
and this will actually drive good. Will feel like, you know, built on a modern chassis, built with modern like everything. So it'll actually like you'll be able to talk to somebody you're riding down the highway with, because a lot of those older vehicles like
look
that.
Look at that
have
picture
nothing.
Right there.
Which one?
Yeah, right, the one next, right next to it. Below it.
This. Yeah, look at that comparison.
Oh,
yeah.
Right there.
See, I mean,
that's
I
a
like,
Lancia.
Right. I like Rivian as it is. Like, I like Rivian.
Yeah,
trucks,
you can always tell that's a Lancia because look at how the side honchos are. Like, you can even see from the side. It's got like fenders that flare out. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are rally tires that they sold for the streetcar. But yeah, look, even below, if you scroll down, you see that yellow Lancia with that.
Mike, did you know that when you brought it up?
What?
Or is that a coincidence?
Apparently,
this like because this does this looks like a dead ringer for the same style. Like they're definitely going for that same look. So
the other one, the same designer made the I think the Volkswagen GT1 Mark 1, whatever, the tiny hatchback for Volkswagen.
The GTI?
Yeah, the GTI. That one also was made by the same guy, so that also has a boxy front. And then I think you see Honda Ioniq 5. You just search Honda Ioniq 5. That has some of it, but not as... I think Rivian one is like way too obvious. This one tries to be
a little more.
I think with the headlights, it's trying to be a little more boxy.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
But yeah,
I think it looks cool.
This looks like a Prius to me. This looks like a slightly better looking Prius.
They smoothed out the edges, is what they did.
I'm okay with not that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so okay. I think we've talked about the Lancia enough. Mm-hmm. Do we want to get your judgment on whether it's cool or nostalgia, or do we want to wait until it's voting time?
Because we're not going to be voting, but I mean, you can certainly say what you think.
Do you want to say it now?
Did
or
you
wait?
Bring this up because you think it's cool? Or did you bring?
I brought this up just because it's absolutely cool.
Okay,
it's like one of my great, you know, what do you call my goal cars? If I ever became insanely rich, I think nice ones now go for $100,000.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they stopped shipping to America in the 80s, so you have to get it from outside the country.
So you have to get it freighted in and then brought trucked in
from some other market. You have to bring it in.
Yeah.
So the $100,000 is just for the car. Then you have to do the rest of
probably an extra $20,000
that's
just to get it here.
For a car that's what? These ones are
at this
30
point, 50
years old?
Yeah.
50?
30.
40 years old.
30?
Well, it's 2024 if it came out in the 80s.
The Evo 2 came out in 93. So that's the last.
Okay, I was thinking like the rally stuff because
yeah,
maybe it was 92. Well, whatever it was.
It's
fine. I can go next. I can stick with some older cars. I am wanting to talk about the 1982 Pontiac Firebird Trans Am T-top.
Can you pull that up?
Specifically because it is Kit. The Knight Industries 2000. You know, type that all out. 1982 Firebird Trans Am.
Oh, this is the Knight Rider.
Yeah,
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
Yeah.
This show came out like when I was very young, so I used to watch this all the time. Even today, I think the theme song is fantastic. That little
also David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, you can't hassle the Hoff.
You can't hassle the Hoff.
Yes, I mean, come on. Now, this is known. I will say I tried to go back and watch this show like a couple years ago.
A little rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I went back to a few of the 80s shows like MacGyver, this one,
okay,
a few
others.
Okay,
wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I want to know,
but
in what way
but
is this aged? What is aged about the show, though? Like, what sticks out to you?
The scripts are not great. The filming seems like the budget was like, hey, here's $20, go figure it out. They put all the money into the car essentially, which is fine because I love the car. The only thing I don't like about it is that little weird steering wheel. It's not actually a wheel, it's like a little two triangles going out and then like too, I don't know.
It's... Isn't that how Tesla does it?
Yeah. What do they call it? What do they call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's like their stupid steering wheel. The yoke. Cyber
the yoke.
Yeah,
yoke.
Yes. Yeah.
The yoke steering. Yeah.
But other than that, like the interior just like has all the little gadgets and made you feel like cool. Like you could do something like the car like jumping through the air. And then, of course, it had, I forgot his name. It's I think it's like William something. That was the voice of Kit. He was also, was it Mr. Feeny on Boy Meets World?
No clue. Okay.
No? Mm-hmm. Now, the car in and of itself had plenty of issues. electrical carburetor issues. Apparently, the suspension and body panels didn't always fit quite right, so there was problems there. But if you nix the whole real world... 82
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Though, aren't we supposed to judge Kit. This on their yeah. real world merits?
I'm bringing up because of Kit. Okay. That the movie car Kit.
So we're in the judge in,
or I
Kit.
Should say, sorry, the television car Kit, where there was never any problems with any of that stuff.
So at the end of this, we're going to judge Kit, not the
Kit
Firebird Trans Am.
Yes.
Okay. I also want to know: is this a shitty car or is it a nice car of that time? A Firebird.
Well, a Firebird Trans Am is considered actually a pretty good car. But sorry, I should say a Firebird is considered a pretty good car.
It was like a muscle
car. Firebird
car.
Trans Am this year is considered not so reliable.
Okay.
Because a Trans Am was like a body package or whatever of the Firebird, because it's really an 82 Firebird Trans Am. But there were other Firebirds that weren't Trans Ams, and they're funnily enough considered decent, reliable cars.
Hmm.
But you got that Trans Am package, and somehow it kind of...
I, funny enough, had two buddies that had, I think they're 84 Firebird Trans Ams, both of them with T-tops, both of them blue. They're identical cars, and two different buddies had them. And so I have a lot of experience with at least a car similar to this.
Yeah. But I mean, you got the little red, like little... with the red light, and then the AI guy Kit coming on and starts talking to you, and like, you know... yes, Michael, you know, all that kind of stuff.
See, but do you really want a car that can talk to you like a human being? Like, is that what you really want?
Our phones do that.
No. Talk have to you me talked like to a Jim, human being? Have you talked, no. Have you talked actually to Gemini lately? Artificial intelligent vehicle, like it's like your buddy, but it's actually a car and it can drive around and do stuff and have conversations with you. Absolutely, that'd be cool.
Why? Why would that be cool?
It because seems like an invasion Kit's awesome. Of privacy. Kit's so awesome that when they redid it in 2008, where they did a new Knight Rider TV show, where that one was actually an 08 Mustang. It was the, what was it? It was the GT500 KR. And no, KR does not stand for Knight Rider Edition, like some people thought. It's King of the Road. Anyways, even that one
see, well,
I liked.
Sounds like you've warred on a couple of forums over that one.
I've had it reply to me like, yeah, the Knight Rider Edition. I'm like, that's not what KR stands for. anyways, but no, like I even liked that one as well. But I wanted to specifically talk about
how you feel about one. Those hubcaps.
That's the one thing that I'm like, but the rest of the car... Because yeah, the little black hubcap things look a little
cheap. They look like the new aerodynamic wheel caps that they put on electric
right?
cars
yeah.
right
yeah again like this the style coming back right
yeah.
It's funny because like electric cars you see that kind of stuff on the wheels all the time because it's more aerodynamic and mm-hmm. like it saves you miles and so it's kind of funny to see that stuff come back and like for a function and yeah. not just for looks.
Yeah. Dude, it's a total wedge.
It's,
well, yeah.
it's a total wedge.
If you want a wedge car, there's your wedge car. Right.
Exactly. No, funny enough, this show was obviously insanely popular in the 80s. And then they had that reboot of the show in 2008, which only ran for a season. And for the first, it was like a TV movie. And then like a 17 episode TV series. And the the first 12 or 13 episodes were not that great. And then they found their footing with the 4 or 5 episodes that were left. But by that point, they were already canceled. But did you know there was also a TV show in between those? It was called Team Knight Rider.
No.
Where there was a whole team of people with a whole team of talking cars. And one was a talking motorcycle.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like...
it was not good.
Oh, shit. Wow. There's a cartoon called Mask that was like that, where they had, like, talking vehicle. I think it was Mask. Anybody remember that? Like, it was like a cartoon that ran for, like, a real short amount of time. I don't even remember when I saw it. I thought the vehicles talked. Maybe not. I was really young. Yeah. So
I still could keep coming back to this in my head, though. It's like, I don't want a car that talks to me.
Well, listen,
like,
that's fine. You don't have to have kids.
Hold on a second.
Let me tell you my opinion here.
You already got it. I tried to talk before. I couldn't even talk. I got to over-talk by three people.
I'm just trying to say, like, when I get in the car, I want to get somewhere. And then, let's say in the future we have autonomous vehicles. I don't want to be talking to the car the whole time we're driving. I want to talk to the rest of the people in the car with me. So, like, well, what's the point?
I don't know if you've ever seen an episode of Knight Rider, but there's very rarely anyone in the car with him.
Well, he's a very lonely man.
Do you know anything about the show Knight Rider?
Well, I mean, a little bit about it, but no, I've never seen it.
Essentially, he was, like, driving across the country, rescuing people from their problems by himself. And then every now and then he'd drive into the back of a semi-truck or the back of a plane to have his car worked on and meet the three other people that were part of FLAG.
Did he have friends, or was, like, this car his only friend? Like,
that car was his friend.
I mean, does that not just seem sad to you?
Well, I mean, it's like James Bond, essentially. Like, he's out there
James
on his...
Bond had friends. He went to parties and stuff. That's totally
that different. Doesn't count as friends.
No, I mean, no, that was
but
and.
No, but, like, he's essentially out on his own all the time trying to save the world kind of thing. It was the same kind
so
of
so he's
setup.
Like a Batman. He's like Batman, but with a
he's Batman without his Gotham.
I mean, like, he has a quote-unquote team, but he only sees them when they meet up and they're
Justice
getting
League.
His assignment and stuff like that. But typically, he's out on his own in the car. But that doesn't matter. I'm just talking about Kit. Ignore that black and gray one. That's car. Just the black one is Kit. But, like, you can see the interior.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Was that his rival?
Sorry.
God damn.
I can tell you what car
I'm just going to sit here and pet my cat.
No, I was going to tell you, you didn't get a chance to talk about your talking car opinion, so go ahead.
I had a 10-second thing to say, and I'm already done. No, I'm good.
Okay.
But yeah, that steering wheel right there, that's the only thing that I'm like, eh. It does look like it should be in an aircraft.
I think it looks cool. Like, why do you need a wheel?
Whenever... I'm not even say it has to be a wheel. Just something about that I don't.
What if you need to go in amphibious mode? Exactly. You know, you've got a lake right in front of you. How are you going to control it with just a steering wheel? You need something like
car,
this.
Car would go
underwater. Because if it's a wheel doing this, doing this, it changes.
What if car goes underwater?
Not that I recall.
When it needs to fly? I mean,
it doesn't fly. It has his little hyper boost, and it jumps across stuff like Evel Knievel.
But look at all the buttons and gadgets and gizmos and stuff you need to see. If there was a big old wheel in the way, you wouldn't be able to see any of that.
That's actually
you know,
a good
like
point.
The speedometer and everything
point.
In front of
point.
Your steering wheel now. You can't even see it, right?
That is, you know what? That wouldn't surprise me if that was literally the reason why they did that.
Oh,
is for the camera
probably
to be able to see the cool dashboard
probably.
A lot easier. So that's actually probably
a
good
little
black and white
TV. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Where someone from a normal phone calls you, but somehow you still get a video feel of them calling you. I was trying to find a picture with the lights open, and it clearly, the lights always broke. These cars that have flip-up lights...
they'd always break to where you couldn't put
them up. That's why I was scrolling. Yeah. Like, can I see a picture with the lights up?
The Pontiac Fieros. I think it was Fieros that had those. And then there's a car that went around on TikTok that my wife really wants. Little bitty car, and it has those too, because it looks like it's smiling when it's like the lights are up. And
I'm not on TikTok.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's a thing.
TikTok's a thing? Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a thing. I don't actually have TikTok either. I just have to watch it all the time because my wife loves it, and she shows me funny videos.
I always make the joke that I watch TikTok when they turn into Instagram reels a week later like an adult.
Yeah, I usually don't watch any of that. So
what all can it do?
What are
I can't remember everything it does, but I know like it does the whole like shoots like oil out, slicks out the back. It does his little hyper boost where it jumps over stuff. It has an ejector seat. Obviously, since it's AI controlled, like you can take a nap in it and it'll just drive the car by itself. I can't remember everything. Yeah, turbo boost.
Turbo drive without, boost.
Yeah, stuff I'm literally talking about. It's got like scanners and sensors and body armor and all this kind of stuff.
Does it actually have
that? Well, see, it can even ski. Look, it skis. That's why you need the yoke. It helps with skiing.
Fair enough.
Does it have any weapons on it?
I don't think it did, but again, I didn't see every
single
episode.
You think that's for ratings? Usually they would stick a gun in it.
I don't think they actually had. I think they might have put a gun on it because I actually
I don't even think Michael Knight had a gun very often.
Yeah, I think they didn't. I think they were trying to like basically stay away from that for the whole violence thing, and also because it was just kind of cooler, kind of like MacGyver was a big thing at the time.
Yeah,
didn't use a gun, and so I think it was something that was easy for TV. And also, if you like. Basically put, like, giant, what is it, like, those Gatling guns or whatever on the side, and they just pop out and just mow everybody down. You'd be, one, really overpowered, and, yeah, probably a little bit violent.
This thing can ski, though.
Yeah, with the yoke. So,
yeah, it's your friend when you go on a ski trip, recreational time.
I barely watch the show, so I have so many questions. Is he, like, a freelance contractor doing the thing? Is he actual police?
Is he a bounty hunter?
It's an organization called FLAG. Which I don't remember the actual acronym, so you could look that up. And I don't think it was it's not like government sanctioned per se. It's like an independent organization. There you go, Foundation for Law and Government.
So it's the government.
But yeah, they're essentially like, it's like a private, yeah, right there, a self-made billionaire. He founded FLAG, and they're essentially going out and like helping people.
So he's a vigilante.
And, like,
okay.
Sort of. But okay.
Like Batman. This is just
Batman
a talking car.
It's daytime Batman.
Well, he doesn't wear a mask. But he does have an alternate identity because he's Michael Knight, but his real name is like Michael something else, but he adopted the name Knight as part of Knight Industries to
Michael
be part of
Arthur Long. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, see?
What's the, like, everyone can see him. What's the point? Yeah.
No, he actually had plastic surgery the first episode, too, to change his face.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's why he looks like Hasselhoff.
No? I mean, if you're going to have plastic surgery, you might as well look like Hasselhoff.
This face could only be created artificially.
Yeah.
No one can be born like this.
It was created in a lab in a test tube.
Oh my God.
They transferred it over to this guy.
This is a $1 million man, but
yeah. But no, they've been like trying to make this into like a big budget movie for like decades at this point, and it still hasn't happened. But no, I love that car.
It's a tough one, man. Really.
So I think it's cool.
You think it's cool. All right.
Mike is like really cross-examining you on this.
I need to know all the facts so I can make a better judgment.
Make the facts alive.
All right. I think I'll go next.
All right.
My car to bring up for judgment today is the Volkswagen Beetle. I'm sorry, I laughed there. Anyway,
it's funny he mentions not wanting his car to talk to him, but he's talking about Bumblebee. Yeah. Go ahead.
Wait, Bumblebee was a beetle?
Yeah.
And where?
In Transformers.
Always has
Which Transformers?
Before Michael Bay. Bumblebee.
Before Michael Bay.
There, it was not
a classic.
Yeah, it was a Camaro, I believe,
the
Michael
Bay era.
So he doesn't want his car to talk to him, but he has one that literally transforms into a human-looking thing.
Hold on a minute.
Pre-Bayham.
Y'all assume too many things here. Okay. First off, I do want to ask, does anyone know that...
Bumblebee!
I got it. He's a...
Do you see?
Beetle.
Do you see? Yeah.
Why does a beetle turn into a bee? Anyway.
Bumble Beetle.
Does anyone know the origins of the Volkswagen Beetle?
It's a people's car.
It is the people's car.
Yes. I'll let you talk about it. Go ahead.
I was always under this. I thought it was actually very heavily... Like, Nazi, very attached to Nazi Germany.
Well, you were absolutely correct. Right. It was developed by Ferdinand Porsche.
Okay.
That Porsche. Yeah.
Right.
You have a little ladybug right there.
And
we have a couple ladybugs down here.
Was
good luck.
Was paid for and enlisted by Adolf Hitler. Yes. So it was made by the Nazis as because Hitler thought that the German people needed a people's car, something that the average citizen can use and could be reliable and not too expensive, that kind of thing. And so that's where it came from.
Do you have a year you're picking for what, which Beetle you're talking about?
No. So I'm saying in general.
Okay.
And which is a very broad thing, because the Volkswagen has been a thing since the 30s until 2019. Actually, oh, it's funny that it pulled up 2019 there.
Mm-hmm.
But the very last Volkswagen Beetle, there's been three major kind of versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
The very last one was built in 2019. So this is a car that was very close to being 100 years in production.
I didn't know they
discontinued it. Yeah, yeah, I didn't either. But,
so I remember they had like the round, like the, they did a redesign that was like almost like an egg kind of shape that
mm-hmm.
like a lot of women loved, because I saw a ton of women driving it.
Women loved.
Well, yeah, like almost like, I'm not saying like there so were no men driving, but a lot of women seemed to drive that.
I have some notes here, and what's funny is there is this perception that the Volkswagen Beetle is a grandma car.
Well, I disagree with that. Grandma, now, that in particular. Oh, that first redesign that was popular with women, I wouldn't have driven that one. But I know a little after that, they like stretched it out just a little bit and kind of like flattened that like big rounded hump. And it suddenly looked sporty again.
Yeah, well, it was sort of sporty. But yeah, I mean, there is something to say about the fact that this car lasted so long, right? Almost an entire century. And it's always been relatively affordable. And it also has an iconic design. I mean, you pull up a picture of it, anyone in the world is probably going to be able to tell you that's a Beetle.
Yeah, especially right? The one on the right.
Yeah. So those are definitely some pros for it. What's interesting, though, I guess what we could talk about for a little bit is its kind of popularity, right? It was mostly popular in the, like, late 50s, kind of 60s era. And it was really seen as like the counterculture car, the hippie car.
Talking about like the right? Beach bug stuff?
It was the love bug.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's so Herbie the love bug.
All the people that were trying like to movies. Reject the society of the time, this was their car. And it got really popular because of the various social movements in that kind of 60s era. And you know, it itself actually also kind of has an effect in my family. My mom is a really big fan of the Volkswagen Beetle. She owned one of the new Volkswagen Beetles that were popular with women, like you said. That was definitely like her era as well. And she's kind of got that kind of hippie vibe to her. So it doesn't surprise me, but yeah, I mean, it was very popular during that time. I don't know if it's ever become quite that popular anytime here. Well, anytime since then, I don't know if anyone else.
Well, I mean, like in the early 2000s, 2010s, like they were insanely popular again when they had that redesign. I saw them all over the freaking place. It was nuts. And I'm curious, like, if you even know this, if you have in your notes you brought, that redesign, it came in with a built-in flower vase. Do they always have that or just that one?
Built-in
flower vase. I don't
know. In the dash, yeah. There's literally a built-in little flower vase to put a flower in.
Jeremy Clarkson pointed it out, didn't he?
Oh, did he? I didn't know. Well, I knew somebody that had one, and I got in the car to move it for, and I'm like, what the heck is this?
It was this transparent little thing to put a flower in.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
they were trying to lean into the hippie part.
Right, right. I mean, everyone kind of associates it with that kind of movement.
That's not what I associate it with.
Okay, well, what do you associate it with? Bumblebee?
No. Well, that and the love bug. But I think this, like, after Volkswagen Beetle put, like, I think it's like Beach Hot Rod, and do a search.
Ooh, yeah. Volkswagen Beetle Beach Hot Rod, okay.
Now, a lot of people would take them, none of these are really showing, and they'll have, like, their surfboards and stuff like that, but they essentially build out the back, and they'll have, like, a big engine sticking out of the back of it.
These are pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, those are cool. But, no, like, I would see them all the time, like, at car show and stuff like that. And essentially the back trunk would be off because they'd have put modified and put such a big engine in it that it was sticking out with like huge pipes coming up and everything. And
right. Well, okay. So one thing we didn't mention, is the original Beatles, up until they made the new Beetle in the early 2000 or whatever, they had engines in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you see the whole take out the trunk, put a gigantic engine right there in the back.
Dune buggy.
That was pretty common with dune buggies. So rebuild these as like dune buggies, especially in the Midwest and stuff like that. They're pretty easy chassis, very easy to come by, very lot of parts, and you could easily turn it into stuff like that. My father, or not my father, my best friend's father had a bug, and it was like a, '60s or '70s one, and he was very much like ex-hippie, pretty much. He's a UPS guy, but you know, in his heyday, he was hippie, and he loved it for that. And man, that thing, oh, it drove terribly though. Yeah. Oh, it was like a little three-speed, and it was weird.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever driven one other than just when I moved a newer one out of a driveway onto the street. I've driven like really driven it, but no, that's what I think of. Yeah, and there's that like more of a redesign where they flatten the top. That
this white guy
right there.
So that's the A5, which is the newest model of the Beetle. So
yeah, and then that like the yellow one was the girly
right.
The more you stretch it out, the more it is a Porsche. Like you see the
911.
Well, I don't see as much the Porsche, but more like an Audi, especially like the Audi TT.
That too. Yeah,
TT.
Yeah.
That too. But especially the new A5 that they're showing there.
Right.
That headlight tilted upwards more. The angle, it just looks like a Porsche.
So what I had read about the A5 is that they Volkswagen thought that the new Beetle, that one in the yellow there, was number one, too much of a departure from the original. And number two, didn't have as much mass appeal. So they made that A5 and elongated it, like you said, and also brought back certain stylistic elements from the original Beetle into that one to try to have a bit more of, you know, of an appeal to it rather than just being this weird round thing.
This guy reminds me of, I put it in the same class, and I know it's not the same, but like the Mini Coopers. Like I look at this and I just think like, this is for a very particular type of person who likes this very specific type of car. Mini Cooper, Volkswagen Beetle, especially this specific one, the yellow one.
Really? Yeah. What's it about the yellow?
Well, not the yellow one, but like the one in yellow, like that particular model, the new look. Beetle. Yeah. It's like, this is definitely going for somebody who's trying to make a statement when they're driving it. And like they're trying to be a little quirky, a little different. So that's what I always think of that. So I don't know. Like, yeah. So,
and it's still very recognizable, but I never cared for that one.
Yeah,
I don't like it. Do you like it? I do. Because this is the opposite of boxy.
So
it's so curvy.
Do you want my opinion on it right now, or
do you
want
to talk more?
We've been given our opinions.
Yeah,
I think it's a totally nostalgia thing. It's not a cool car at all. I think one of the reasons why you don't see more cars that look like this is because it only appeals to a certain subset of people. And in my mind, if it only appeals to a small subset of people, it's not cool.
I don't know. I think it can be pretty cool. Well, actually, I'll just make that argument later.
Yeah.
I got you. No, you're entitled to that opinion.
I like the older
ones. As wrong as it is.
I don't think they're so cool. But even if just for nostalgia, I like their earlier rickety designs more than the newer redone parts.
Yeah, but when we get around to voting, we have to vote on the, you're picking a specific year, we have to vote on the Beetle as a whole. Cooler nostalgia.
I'm not going to pick a specific one, as a whole.
It's no longer front, right? They removed the engine up front, right?
Yeah, so the newer ones do have the engine up front.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There we go.
There's a hot rod.
Oh, God. It's like burning my retina. What the
Last but not least.
All right. So I noticed there was a rule update that said nothing easy like Batmobile. And I was like, I noticed that. And so then I was going to be like, well, what's another car that's very nostalgic to me that I could talk about? But it's a freaking 83 Camaro, which is very, very similar to your 82 Firebird. Because I thought you were going to talk mostly about the, because I have a story about it, like how I acquired it, why it's so, like kind of important to me, but it also, I've got kind of a, It's a little, it's different enough. I think we can probably allow it. It's different enough for kids.
We can go that way. You can go that way if you still want to. Because
this is actually for.
That's no, like, I want to talk about the Batmobile. Like, I think
we can talk about
what
the Batmobile.
We should do is every episode we should bring up Batman at least once.
In some way,
like science
bring
show
up
with Superman.
Yeah. Batman. No, it's actually like I thought. My thought was like when you instantly go cars, and obviously this is kind of a nerd podcast. You're instantly going to think Batmobile. You're going to think the Ectomobile. You're going to think stuff like that. And so I was like, you know, let's try to like veer away from the obvious. And I even had thought of stuff like, you know, the A-Team van. I was like, that's not as obvious. And I had thought about the Ninja Turtles van. And I was like, that's not as obvious.
The Scooby-Doo
cartoon.
Mystery Machine.
I thought about the Mystery Machine.
Yeah.
I even thought about something that's not as old, but still kind of old when it first it was introduced. And I was like, the Halo Warthog and everything. So I was trying to find something that wasn't as obvious. But if we
I'll
certainly
say
talk
that,
about
like,
the Batmobile.
No, I mean, the Batmobile was easy. Oh,
go ahead.
I hate this car.
Hear me out on this. That's
every
why I
design
think it's
choice is like giving, like, I just.
This.
I guess we're talking about the Camaro.
We can have a little sidebar on the Batmobile. Because I have opinions on the Batmobile through its different eras.
Well, let's do this.
But
we'll talk about this.
I'll make this pretty brief, pretty much.
Go ahead.
So this vehicle right here, this is basically the Chevy Camaro Berlinetta, which had a 6-cylinder in it. I believe I might have had an 8-cylinder version. I think it could have had T-tops, but mine did not. And the reason why I'm talking about this car is it was actually kind of important to me growing up where I was just out of high school. I was in college at the time. And I was on the newspaper staff and on the yearbook staff. I was the photographer for them. And the head of the staff, she had a vehicle that she needed to get rid of. And she's like, well, I'll give it to you for free. And she's like, my son rebuilt this, you know, this car. It's terrible. I've been driving it for years. You can just have it. It has a brand new set of tires on it, whatnot. And me, I'm just like going, I guess I could do that. Why not? She needs to get rid of it. She doesn't want it anymore. I tried to offer even a little bit of money without even seeing it just because I knew she was a nice person. And I didn't have much money because I was in college. And she knew that too. I ended up selling her my parents' car. And so that all worked out real well. And anyway, get this vehicle, show up at the college actually. And went there, and I had a buddy, two buddies, one who followed, like drove us down, and then one that was like with me. And we get out and we see this vehicle, ugly. Just take this, but way uglier. Like, just the paint job is all messed up. It looked like it was basically in the midst of being redone. And it was just not a good looking car. It had a nice set of tires on it because, you know, that was
made.
Tires. Yeah, she's like, you could probably sell it for like $100 or $200. And because, you know, I was a broke college student, I'm like, yeah, I could probably flip this for that. If like maybe I'll like driving it if it's, you know, maybe you can fix it up. Because my dad had his best friend was a gearhead, like actual mechanic gearhead, could do some magic. And I owned a Jeep at the time. So he'd worked on my Jeep. And anyway, we get in there, I turn it on, the thing will barely turn over. And she had never changed the oil in a couple of years. And, but anyway, she starts telling me, she's like, going, yeah, my son, he was in the military. He actually likes, you know, rebuilding cars and stuff like that. But he went off to Japan. So he, you know, just didn't need this car anymore. So he just gave it to me. So here I am. It's, you know, not a reliable car. I need to get rid of it. So I'm like, all right, cool. So buddy's following us. I've got my friend in passenger side seat. We get outside of town. And mind you, it was about a 30-minute drive to my hometown. And we get to this stoplight, and it's a stoplight that's actually on a highway. And I'm like, okay, well, this thing's got a terrible engine in it. It runs, it would choke. Like, it was terrible. I did not think it was going to make it home. And I'm like, Mark, I'm just gonna hold down the accelerator and just see what happens. If the engine explodes, oh well.
Sorry, I want to have some fun.
And my buddy Mark's like, all right, dude, let's do it. And I was like, all right, And I hit it, and it just goes, and then it's just like, it sounded terrible. And then it just goes, like that, and we take off, and both of us got yanked back, and I was just like, what the hell? I look over at Mark. Mark looks over at me. He looks like a trout, just like a like he just He just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And yeah, so we're like, what in the hell is in this thing? The whole time we're driving back, it's a 30-minute trip. I was like, what in the hell is in this thing? Because this thing should have a real terrible, like, these were terrible cars, pretty much. They were like, you know, wannabe, like, you know, the stuff that makes it look like it's high-end or fast, and they're really not. And yeah, get it home and pop open the hood, and I look at it, and I'm like, Dad! Dad, come out here! Dad comes out, and he looks at it, and he's like, what the hell is that? And it ended up having a motor that was called a 383 stroker in it, which was a V8 motor that was a pretty high-end motor that should not have been in that vehicle. It is fully chromed out. Oh. The entire inside looked insanely immaculate. It was amazing. And that thing could absolutely go. It was not completely finished. But yeah, so it started clicking. It was like, oh, her son... mechanic in the military, had excess fun, like rebuilding stuff, rebuilding cars. He took this car and basically turned it into a sleeper. I don't know if you know what a sleeper is, but yeah, you just have a car that looks pretty terrible, looks pretty slow, known to be slow,
but normally
and is absolutely like, not
mode,
slow.
God mode.
Yeah, this thing
just had, hit it and wait for it to happen.
This thing, well, that was because she drove it for years and basically ran into the ground, so it needed all the work done to, like, it needed filters.
Yeah, you did say, like, she never
yeah it needed a fuel stuff. Filter, air filter, like, all, it basically needed a lot of TLC on the inside. And went through and did all that thing. And this thing was an absolute monster. Like, you know, a car like this that could peel, like you're doing like 50 down the, you know, just like on a street. And then you hit the accelerator and you start peeling out, like that kind of power. And I was just like, I just couldn't believe it. It blew my mind. And it was just an absolutely insane car.
Did you ever tell her
car.
She wanted money or just like,
no,
oh,
I
keep my mouth
I called her up immediately and told her exactly what it was and told her, I was like, I need to bring this car back to you because you can sell it for way more money. And she refused. Mm. She would not take it.
So wait, what did you do with it?
I ended up keeping it. I fixed it up a little bit. Ended up not being the most reliable thing in the world because it was still unfinished. And I was, and I'm not a mechanic. I have no interest in doing anything like this. And so it broke down on me on the highway. Like it overheated. I can't remember what it was, but something happened. And I was like, I'm going to sell it because I had another vehicle. And so I ended up selling it to a friend of mine who actually did put some love into it. We got it repainted and all that. And so it actually ended up on the road. I don't know if it still exists to this day. It probably got crashed at some point because it had way too much power. But that car, as crappy as it looks, man, that thing was a great kind of a sleeper car because it just was not well known for being super fast.
Okay, and so are we gonna vote on this car?
We're gonna. I'm.
And are
I'm,
we gonna vote on actually, your particular car or
no? What I'm gonna do. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna say like I believe anybody who likes this car is absolutely nostalgic for this car. This is not a cool car. There's nothing cool about this car. What made
also,
that car
cool Camaros. Not so much this one.
This one in particular, there was some very cool ones that you could get. But yeah, for me, it was all about that, like that whole story, that whole thing that happened for me was just like, that was insane. That was like hitting the lottery pretty much. And yeah, it was crazy. So yeah, I ended up selling it. Very cool car. However, very ugly everything else. This one was especially, I wish I could find one that was more beat up than this because it was gray and beat up. And yeah, so... That was my story.
So it's more a very personal connection story.
It's definitely a personal connection.
I feel like the wooden would be unanimous.
But that's the whole thing. That's nostalgia, though.
I have the wrong impression of Mike here. If he loves this car.
I could have very easily...
He's like respect levels going...
I could have very easily loved this car just from that connection. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't think... But I do know people that do like this style, that do like this car. But for me, no. That story is very cool, but that car is not.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think we have the time to get into the Batmobile at this point.
Batmobile
so is this
is
your topic.
We could just do a whole episode about the Batmobile, I think. We pick our era of Batmobile and we all defend
just
it.
Just compare them.
Yeah. that'd be pretty each good. Each one of us can come with an era. Batmobile.
Yeah, yeah, we can do
and
that.
And we just absolutely do a Batmobile episode.
We can do future car episodes. I need to mention the DeLorean. That's another one that I put on the no-no list, because that's also an obvious one, which none of us did.
I saw that, yeah.
I think, though, we should bring that at some point up for debate, because I think it could go either way.
I honestly think the DeLorean would be great for a debate, because take away Back to the Future and then add in any knowledge about the DeLorean itself and how kind of a shit car it is.
We can absolutely go down that road later on, because we have future topics. That
and the whole CEO off of DeLorean, the whole story of
him. We're not going into it now, Andy.
All right.
So, yeah.
Maybe it's connections with other vehicles that are made with stainless steel that are shit. Cybertruck.
Going back to...
Yeah, Andy's, let's start with Andy.
Final pitch.
Andy's
before we
topic.
Vote.
Summarize. Pitch, yeah.
Look, I think it's one of my dream cars I want to get. Look how cool it is.
$400 for an RC version.
Yeah, there you go. You want me to put in the order now?
I'll buy that.
Here, just go ahead and give me your credit card. We'll just add that money to the cart.
One of those cars where if you ever get it, you feel the piece of history, the you know, the attachment of like all the things it's been through, of like the things it's won, and like from a street car going to a rally car and all that. So my pitch is that it still looks really cool, because like we said, a lot of cars are going back to this design.
All right. Michael, you vote first.
I am going to say that I had never heard of this car before. I this first time seeing it, and I think it's freaking cool. I don't know anybody, or at least I couldn't respect anybody who wouldn't look at this thing and think that this is just isn't cool as shit. Like, I get that some of the boxy design stuff like that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm framing it out right here. Anybody votes, we're gonna have words pretty much. But no, I think this absolutely looks cool. I actually like the non-rally version of it. Like all the stuff that I've kind of scrolled through on here. If I saw this on the road, I'd just be like, that is sick. That is badass. I love that. I love that this exists. I have never seen one of these personally. At least if I did, I wouldn't have known it at the time. But I will now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's absolutely cool.
No, I mean, I feel like I've already kind of said what my vote's going to be anyway. So I'm just going to back you as it is. I knew some of the history of it because I watched Top Gear and everything. So I knew about the rally stuff. But even without knowing about the rally stuff, I totally agree with you. I was like, just like, it looks cool. It does have that old kind of boxy style, but it's not done in a way that makes it dated, in my opinion. Because there's a lot of them that you're just like, wow, if we really had a car that looked like that. This still looks cool today, even with all the kind of more modern stylings we have. So, like, I'm absolutely on the side of this is cool.
Yeah, I think this looks even cooler today just for the fact that it doesn't look like everything else on the road. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for different.
Well, speaking of looking like everything else on the road, like I was mentioning earlier, this style is making a comeback. And I think we'll start seeing more cars that have that kind of look to it. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm also voting cool here.
Unanimous?
Unanimous. I think people realize...
We actually voted that. You just didn't want to have him lose respect for you.
He already lost respect for me a long time ago.
Narrator, he never had respect.
Disrespect from the beginning.
So let us know at coolerjustnostalgia@gmail.com. Do you respect Mike?
The deuce.
The deuce. Do you respect the deuce?
Yeah.
By the way, the HF... In the Delta, that HF means high fidelity.
Ooh, high fidelity.
Is that because of the stereo system it came with?
No, it's supposed to, it's an audio term we use now, but their exclusive club used to be called High Fidelity back in the day, and then they used it again for this as a badge. And it has an elephant jumping on it, because it's considered a good luck symbol from Eastern Asia.
Mm.
So...
The Italians, really...
They were pandering for the Japanese, yeah. Is what I think it is.
I feel that we're voting on kit, not the Firebird Trans Am in and of itself. And, I mean, like I said, I loved that show growing up, but even still, the car alone, I think with all the like just the little red flashing there, and like the interior kind of done up to look, well, it's space agey for the 80s, but I think this car is still considered like iconic. If you see somebody driving that down the road in black with that red light going back,
if I saw the red light, I would freak out. You know that Leonardo DiCaprio meme, like, I'm literally sitting there just like that would be me instantly.
So to me, I'm like, it's absolutely still cool today, and the fact that that car has become a thing where they've been trying to imitate in future television shows and future movies now for 40 years. I think it's standing the test of time, so it's cool.
All right, I'll go first on voting on this one. This one is tough because I love actually the cockpit design of the interior and all the little gadgets and gizmos and stuff. I think physical controls in cars need to come back, and we need to get away from all the freaking touch screens. Yeah. And this like car was like an embodiment of physical control, right? But I hate the freaking AI and talking car aspect of it. I don't want that in my cars. And for that reason, I think I'm going to vote nostalgia on this one.
Yet you own the car
once again
that you,
at coolerjustnostalgia@gmail.com. Do you respect Mike?
The deuce! The deuce! Yep, nostalgia. Sorry.
You want to go?
All right, I guess I'll go ahead and go. I actually think the like kit aspect of it, the fact that they made this look unique, even in a sea, because these are very popular cars. There's a lot of them that were made. You absolutely know this car. If you saw it on the road, even without the light and whatnot, you would still be like, that looks a lot like the Knight Rider car, or at least anybody who's familiar with this show.
Yeah, all black, and then if you have the little hood thing.
Yeah, with the wheels, the hubcaps, which, you know, I like mentioned, I was like going, I'm a little iffy on them, but again, it makes it stand out. It makes it stand out as kit. I think I might be on the side of like, it's cool, but it's also a little nostalgic, but I'm going to lean more 60-40 because it's cool. I also actually like the whole like kit. I like the whole AI aspect of it because he actually told the car to do things and the car did it for him. And that's what a lot of our modern cars have now.
Until they start telling you no, they don't want to.
Well,
do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's when our AI overlords take over and murder us all.
Kit's programming, unlike cars' programming, Kit's programming is to protect human life at all costs, especially Michael Knight's. So he doesn't tell him no. He just takes care of business.
Isn't that like the second law of robotics?
Yeah, it's the law of robotics.
There's two train tracks, and Michael Knight's on one side.
There's 10 people on the other side, and you have to roll through one or the other. What do you pick?
He would go into hyperboost and jump over them.
Yeah.
So they all die.
And shoot out a lasso that picks up Michael Knight.
This is why cars should not have AI. It should never have to deal with that.
I think the answer is you drift sideways so that you run over both.
Oh, yeah. Maximum damage.
Yeah. All right, Andy.
Me?
You're the decider.
You're the tiebreaker now.
I'll come out straight. Nostalgia for me. For me, even if it's kit. I'm sorry,
but look
buddy.
At this face.
He's just a lonely man.
He drove the car. He is permanently attached to it.
How dare you try to influence me with that smug?
Take it away.
His name should be.
He was even looking at you like, what did you just say?
Yeah, exactly. He's staring into your soul. He's like, you sure you're going to finish that sentence, Andy?
This is inappropriate use of Hasselhoff. Influence.
Flag thrown. Inappropriate use of Hasselhoff.
Oh my god, that needs to become a thing. Yeah. That needs to become a thing.
His name should be David the Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Like, just this image in particular, like just burrowing into your soul.
Okay, so I have to go back for a second because there was one time I accidentally left my computer unlocked at work. And when I came back the next day, they had replaced my entire desktop background with a picture of David Hasselhoff in a mankini, like laying all sideways like this. And So did, I was just like,
did you sit down like nothing was wrong? Because I would have.
Continue with my day.
Be like, hey, this is great. All right.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
But go on with your horrible.
Yes, Andy. Keep talking.
It is purely nostalgia. 100%. I know David's kind of staring me down, Mr. Hasselhoff, but for me, it's very purely nostalgia. Because if I saw that car today, I don't like the design. Stop making it bigger. Stop making it bigger.
Keep going, Andy. Keep going. This is fine.
Just tell Hasselhoff to his face.
I'm just glad y'all didn't put me through that hell right there.
You needed his charisma to make up for the car smack.
Is that where we're going?
You had to make
okay,
it
it's been
right.
decided.
Okay.
So, yeah. The cockpit is like too much, but I love the physical buttons. But it's all like, do I want that car today? It's like my cool factor is that like something I would like to own or see on the street and be like, ooh.
And if we're doing either or on this, to like, would I take any James Bond car over this? Answer is yes.
And any Aston
James
Martin
Bond
come
car?
On.
No. Any of the more recent Aston Martins? Yes.
The old one, man. There's some good old ones. Like, okay.
I like the new ones.
Yeah, I mean,
there was one of the James Bond cars was like a BMW, and I'm like, okay, that's
what's wrong with BMW?
No, but I mean, I like BMW, but like. It was a basic BMW versus that, I would take this any minute. But if it's like one of the new like Aston Martin Vanquish and everything like that that he was driving in one of the newer movies, I'm like, yes, please. So
it's the opposite for me. Put BMW on radar for me when I saw it in Well Not Enough, right?
Yeah.
When he's driving it in more and they cut it in half. And I was like, this is for a sedan, it looks pretty good.
Oh, when
what
you
I
cut
thought.
A BMW in half, it looks great.
Yeah. Probably not the best endorsement.
Okay, Kit, nostalgia.
Oh, gosh.
It's been decided. Okay, so I was up next with the Volkswagen Beetle as a whole, all three versions of it. But in my mind, it was nostalgia. I think there are aspects of it that were definitely appealing, right? I think the history of it is very very interesting to learn about. And I think it had a very important place in American culture and world culture. But there's a reason why you don't see them today, and you don't see other cars that are modeled after it today. So in my mind, it's definitely a nostalgia thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Andy, you go next.
I was thinking about it. I would own actually the oldest one. Like I would think, because I love
like
a little bit of, I love a little bit of rattle and like the like you know like an old engine that's like struggling to breathe and it's like a four popper with the 50 horsepower on it. Yeah, I love the Herbie movie with the Irish coffee in it,
which we didn't talk about much, but
yeah.
The star of a movie.
Yeah. I'll say that my wife would love
movies.
It if I bought it in that like that, but I would own that one. I hate everything that's like new about it. I really hate the new ones. In which like I think it was good then and then didn't need to be anymore.
So you don't like the A5 here?
God no.
Okay. And whatever this one is.
No, definitely not that one.
What is that? It looks the same from the front and the back almost. It's like too symmetrical. It's just like no.
It's essentially a bouncy ball that they put fenders on and wheels.
Yeah. I think so. Overall, I would
you
say nostalgia.
Judge it on, okay.
I'll say nostalgia overall because I'm leaning more that way. But yeah, that's right. My take.
We got one vote for nostalgia.
That's really difficult for you to say. We're judging this as a whole. This vehicle that's been around for nearly a century. Every iteration of it, judge it the same.
Sorry, it's my
because,
topic.
Because the same thing, like. The newest one, I'm like, oh, that looks a little more like the older one. So it's not bad, but would I ever own it? No. The one that's the weird ball with fenders, I didn't even like driving my girlfriend's at the time from my driveway to the street. I did not like doing that. Especially when hers was a stick shift and it didn't tell you how to put it in reverse. And I was like, why is this not working? You had to push the thing down, oh, like the down? Entire stick okay. down to get it to go into reverse. But there was nowhere that said to do that. So I'm like, why can't I put this in reverse? So that made me hate it even more. Not to mention the stupid little flower vase in it. But anyways.
vase.
You sure? But, you sure it was a flower vase?
Yes, it was a vase.
That was because that was too woke for him. Like,
the older ones, like I think, have their place. They can be cool when they yeah. See, there so you go. This it's actually built into the car.
Slot. Yeah,
it that just looks like a cup holder.
Nope, it's meant for a
it's
flower.
It's too tiny.
See how
it's oh, okay.
Like a
oh, okay.
Flute in it.
Well, yeah. I was looking at this, and this looked like a glass of water.
Yeah, no, it's like that big around.
Okay.
So well, flowers do need water.
It's like well, it's yes, like the cool course. The cool long tube shots at bars of water. But no, the older ones, the older style, like they can be cool if they're done up the right way, but that's that specific iteration of it because they've fixed it up to do something with. So even though... You traders over there didn't agree with me on mine. I'm not that kind of person, and I will agree that it's nostalgia.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Well, Michael, your vote doesn't
my
matter.
My vote doesn't matter. However, I'm going to go against the grain here. I think they're actually pretty cool.
Ooh.
Especially the yellow one
reason,
right there.
Reason the being one. Is there is some really cool-looking Beatles that are out there. Throughout the history of Beatles, just, you know, Beatlemania, you know, that's
but,
what that, that's what that's for, right?
Are, but
yeah, that's what it is. People that just really like these
I reference that though, like if people have gone and fixed them up and done certain things and they're really cool, but I can't vote for this one version and this one version that somebody did something is cool when you're thinking of the Volkswagens as a whole.
Yeah. Oh well, I can. There are certain because there is so many different versions of it. Yeah, there's a couple. I'm like this thing, this
like that
is,
red one right
this
there.
Is,
I like that.
This
red
is
one.
Cursed. I hate this. I don't mind this. However, it is starting to fall within the trappings of all modern car design of being too curvy, too samey, everything.
Makes it look
so but the reason why I think this is actually cool, like this is cool. Even this old school one like this is awesome. The love bug. I mean, look at this guy. This is fantastic. If I saw this on the road, I'd be like, that is cool as hell. And the person driving it is cool as hell. So
I'd look at it, but I wouldn't agree. I've never been a
I wouldn't want to drive it or own it, but I would think it's actually pretty cool. And I think there's a reason why it has stood the test of time all the way up till 2019. I'm sure this will be back too, and it'll be super popular.
Probably electrified.
Because yeah, it'll probably be an electric version of it because that's the trend these days to bring back the old things you used to love and make an electric version of it. But anyway, even if I saw somebody just driving this around, I'd be thinking that's like totally cool. Like I said, my best friend growing up, his dad had one of these cars, and it was actually pretty cool. It was different. Like, you know what it is when it's coming down the road. And right now, we live in a time in which no vehicle on the road looks different from each other.
We ever played Slugbug growing
up. I think stuff like, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Slugbug, yeah. And did you play Slugbug growing up?
What even is
well,
that?
Well, since there's no
beetle
where he grew up.
Before anyone else, you get to hit. It hit them.
Yeah. The first one to see it, you're just like slug bug and you punch him in the arm.
Yeah. No okay. hit, no hit backs. So yeah, that's actually my, I do not have a lot of nostalgia for this other than like I said, a friend's dad had it, but I always thought it was cool. I think people who will drive something like this is cool as long as it's not like this particular one.
Well, I think we respect your opinion. But also, it doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but you know, but there might be people out there who it does matter to. So you know, we're just four
we're
people.
Talking about you.
You.
Well, so, but I also want to preface, like, there are some that I like. It was kind of like what you did with the
Jeffrey's getting all defensive about this.
No,
he's like, don't skewer me. Don't skewer me in the comments.
But it's like what you did with the whole 60-40, like, except mine leaned the other way. Yeah. Like, there are a number of them that I'm like, wow, that's cool. I would drive that. Especially ones that, like, when they've been done up to be off-road and everything like that. That's really cool. But as a whole, I was like, a 60 is like more of a nostalgia, but
yeah, no, I get that. For me, this is actually, if I had to weigh it, it would be like more like a 80-20, 90-10. Like, I actually think most of these look pretty cool and, it's just different. And I personally, I'm in that frame of mind. I like different right now.
Yeah.
I want to see color.
Like the two white ones right there.
I
want
to see, I don't want to see black. I don't want to see white and I want to see different.
But the yellow with the white walls and the red, dropped out. Oh,
that red's so cool.
This red one, I would actually, now that this one I'd love to own. Yeah, this looks badass. Like, whatever they did to this, it looks great.
And it's got a front, because you see that handle there with a push button.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a convertible too. Yeah. Like, this just cruising around town on that guy, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Not in this one.
You wouldn't?
Not in this weather right now.
I don't like plus. It. I'm sorry.
I have to be 50 plus.
He's 100% nostalgic.
I'm 100% 60 years old. Then I'll drive around in that. I don't want, if there's a young guy in it, I mean, not that I'm that young anymore, but I just feel like I need to be old to pull it off, is how I feel it.
Mm. Okay. All right, well.
One left.
Monaghan. Your Camaro. Do we even need to go through this?
I mean, yeah, it's like, well, you guys all know, I absolutely think it is nostalgic. Here, I'll bring
seconded.
It up here.
Not even going to talk about it. Seconded.
It's just, it was a cool.
Is that a thirded?
It was a cool story, but the car itself is absolute crap to me.
It feels like they tried some things and half tried this and half tried that. Like, I don't get what's, like, the tail is so uninspiring, the back of it.
Yeah, it had a big old winch, like, or, yeah, yeah. That window back there is huge.
And the front kind of looks like a cheese grater.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you go scroll all the way to the top, like, there was that one at the top left, they changed the hood in the front a little bit. That one doesn't look too bad.
This guy, the blue
one? They fixed it up.
They changed the front end of
it, so it doesn't look this bad. This was not a Berlinetta. Or they changed it. Like, this is more what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, they updated that one.
You can make it look cool, but you've got to change out quite a few things. The color, you got to, you know, like a lot of things that don't look cool, you can make it look cool. But the typical stock, the purchase look of it is not great.
Yeah. Is there a headlight?
Well, we've already got three for nostalgia, so Mike, just go ahead. Your vote doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree. Nostalgia. Totally. Yeah.
Is there a headlight
cover? But to be fair, is anybody nostalgic for this car?
Yeah, I mean, is it? It's worse than nostalgia.
Yeah. Does anybody hold this car in high regard?
No, it was.
It's outright hatred for me. Yeah, that's what it is.
I look at this and I get angry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I'll just say, like, let us know in the comments what you agreed and didn't agree with. Let us know that, you know, Mike and Andy are wrong about Kit and that you've lost respect for them.
And I still want to know if you watched or listened to the last episode, if you think Batman Returns is a Christmas movie.
All right, did anybody take my assignment that I gave them to actually go watch the dang movie since the last episode? Did anybody take the assignment?
No. But it, you know, it's still Christmas season. Maybe it could happen.
I literally was at Warner Brothers Studios recently and found a Batman, you know, Returns Christmas book and sent every single one of them the photo to prove it's a Christmas movie. But
it was AI generated fan fiction. Don't believe him.
Oh goodness! But no. If you enjoy this, obviously share it with others because we're a brand new podcast. We need followers. We need you guys to pay attention. We need to. Yeah. Anyway, no.
We need to grow.
We need you to love us.
Love us, please. For us to have our things told that are nostalgia, please, we need your love to feel better about it.
Or your hate. You know, hate is engagement, too. So
that's very true. Right.
Send us your hate.
Yeah. Especially if it's that way.
It wait.
Especially if it's that car.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah. But, can make sure you subscribe if you haven't. Obviously, we're on YouTube, anywhere your podcasts are at. And we'll see you next time on Is It Cool or Just Nostalgia?
All right.
All right.
Later, everybody.